What's up? This is Marquise.
This is Ari.
And I'm Kim.
And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.
So what's up, guys? Like, how's your week, man?
Well, it's been a little heavy, but we've made it. It's a little hard with everything that's going on in the world and things that haven't changed. But honestly, it's good to finally see some changes starting to take place, and I'm hoping that they stick this time.
Amen. Amen. I definitely agree with you. This week has not been as heavy as it's been since the start of the things that have been going on. I mean, you can't say that they started just now. I mean, it's been going on for a long time, but you know, we're finally starting to make moves of changing things going on around the country, and the world is recognizing it as well, which is amazing to see, you know, the support from
absolutely
people around the world. But yeah, it's been a better week than it's been the past few weeks, actually. I can say that. What about you, Marquise?
Where do I start?
Yeah, because you got a different perspective than both of us.
Right. Yeah, it's been tough, man. It's trying to be Christian in this thing, or trying to have a faith and being a black man and just being on both worlds, like being in both aspects of it. You know what I mean? Like me being in the hood before, me being through that lifestyle before, but then transitioning into the corporate world, or being around people of different ethnicities, or just being around white culture. And it's like, you kind of see both aspects of it, but then it's like, with everything going on social media, you see people, and it has you questioning, like, are you cool with me because I'm like the cool token black guy, or do you like just rock with everybody? You know what I'm saying? So it was hard for me because it's like a lot of my friends aren't really speaking up that are white, and so it's like where is your stance on it? So it's been taking a definite, it wasn't impacting me at first, but then when you start to see it over and over and over again, it's hard. I'm gonna say,
yeah.
And just it, and telling people like just to pray about it, that's even harder. So I'm like, I'm trying to pray on it. I'm trying to just see wisdom and guidance through it. But I ain't gonna beat around the bush. It's been tough for me.
Yeah, I feel you on that. It was definitely a hard first week because I did not want to pray. I did not want to talk to God about it. It was just a lot of emotions felt. So I definitely can see that and definitely understand that part of it.
Absolutely.
But yeah. So let's not keep it so heavy. Marquise, do you want us to...
Yeah, we're going to do the one that has to go. So, this one's kind of tough. It's going to be Christian rap, gospel, 90s R&B, and neo-soul. One of those have to go. Who wants to go first?
The look on my face says a lot. I don't know.
Right.
I pick Ari to go first.
That's not fair.
Yep.
Oh man. So the thing is, like, I grew up on 90s R&B, neo soul, and gospel. So I gotta stick with what I grew up on. So, because I didn't grow up on Christian rap. Christian rap is like one of the newer things coming into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to choose, Christian rap has to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it, Kim.
So for me, I love them all. All of them have a special place in my heart. But for me and where I'm at in this moment, I would say probably 90s R&B will have to go.
Only because that hurt my heart.
Where I am now, trust and believe, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. But for me, where I'm at right now, the other, like, gospel, Christian rap, and neo soul, they speak more into me than 90s R&B. And be real, with me being a single woman, we know R&B kind of tends to go that route. So I'm trying to stay saved.
That's true.
That's the only reason why. But trust me, I still have my moments where I go, where I'm like, okay, I just need some brandy. I just need some Monica. I need to go back just a little bit. But if I had to pick out of these four, it would be 90s R&B. It'll be tough, but it would be 90s R&B.
You have a point. I can't deny that. Yeah. It hurt, though.
Oh, and trust and believe, that hurt. That
Yeah. All right, Marquise.
Okay. So mine, it will have, well, I got to stick with my R&B because I am married. So I can stick with my, I can rock with my R&B. I can't get rid of that. Gospel, I didn't really grow up in the church, but where I'm at now, I've kind of learned to enjoy it a lot better because it's a, it helps you out. It helps you get through the day. Christian rock, I got to keep my Christian rock because that's what got me away from that hardcore thug nation type rap where it's like killing and shooting and stuff like that. Not saying it's bad, but I mean, but you got to step away from it. But when I got into a bunch of the Christian rap, it helped me out to actually enjoy the word, because a lot of them was putting scripture into their raps and stuff like that. So with that being said, so with that being said, neo soul got to go. I'm sorry, because I don't even think I know what neo soul is. So
that's like
music soul child, Jill Scott, Christine Michelle, that type.
Yeah, they could go.
No hesitation.
None.
Oh man. That's funny. That's real funny. All right, so let's go ahead and move on and get into the real topic for today's discussion. I'm glad we were able to, you know, get a glimpse into Kim's point of view on One Has to Go, but we definitely want to get into your story, your personal story, as it comes to, you know, your background and where you come from and your Christian walk and everything. So with that being said, we're going to ask you some questions, Kim. So awesome. You ready?
I am.
All right, so first question is, who are you? What's your backstory, or who are you as a person?
Like y'all know, my name's Kim. Born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes, there are black people in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes, there are still black people in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I get asked that all the time. Yes and yes. I went to school in New Orleans, Louisiana at Xavier University in New Orleans. Went back home. Really didn't want to be there. Both of my parents are from the South, so every summer I was in the South and experiencing the winters in the South, I was like, I don't want to do the northern winters anymore. So after I graduated, I had always wanted to come back down South, but I just didn't know where I would end up. And 9 years prior to me moving down here, my sister moved down to Charlotte. So that's kind of what got me to Charlotte. So, and for me, I've been in Charlotte 6 years, so I love it. And I don't plan on going back to Milwaukee other than to visit. But on the church side of it, I've been in church all of my life, literally. People at my church that I grew up at used to come to me and tell you, I remember when you was a peanut in your mama's womb. And it was like, oh, okay, thank you. So like I said, I grew up Missionary Baptist, where ladies weren't allowed to wear pants in the church. They weren't really allowed to speak or preach if they, no, let me take that back. They weren't allowed to preach, they were allowed to speak, and they had to do it at the podium, the announcer's podium, and not the preacher's podium. It was that divide. So when I went to New Orleans and I came across a different type of church, I was actually part of Bishop Morton's and Co-Pastor Deborah B. Morton's Full Gospel church, and just seeing the dynamic of how they did church really started my personal hunger for getting a better relationship with God. So that's basically how, like, my relationship, well, that sparked something in my relationship, let's say that.
And that's interesting. So, like, the whole part of growing up in, like, Missionary Baptist Church and then transitioning, how was that trying to navigate that part? Like, because I know that seeing things from that perspective and then coming to the South and you seeing it from a totally different perspective, like, how was that navigating that change?
So y'all remember in Kings of Comedy, mm-hmm. the scene where Steve Harvey was like, when he found out or when he learned that church people cuss, and how he was just like, and the camera panning around him, like, that was me. Because, like, seeing co-pastor, now Pastor Deborah B. Morton, get up there and speak the way she spoke and behind the podium, it was a little bit of a culture shock, but I loved it. Because growing up in a Missionary Baptist church, women were missionaries, pastors' wives, deacons' wives, leaders of the choirs, things like that, ushers, nurses, mothers, and that was it. But we never were allowed to preach, minister type thing. And I understand a little bit of that biblically, but it's like, growing up in a church like that, it's like, it's hard to know what your purpose is. It's hard to really want a relationship with God when all you're gonna do is sit and just be in the choir. It's almost like, why do I want a relationship with God if this is all I'm gonna do? And when I do come to church, all I get is the same sermons recycled. So when I became a part of Greater St. Stephen's or the full gospel, like, just seeing that they were up there, women were exhorting God, they were calling on him, leading worship, and like, it was just a whole different experience. And it was like, I want more of this. So much so that it was funny, the first Sunday that after I graduated and I came home, I fell asleep in church. And not just like, I don't know. I was like, oh, I can't do this. Like, when I went back home, it was like, there's a hunger that's not being filled at this church.
You needed that energy.
Right. thankfully, she had already left our home church, and she had went to a different church. So I eventually started going to church with her, which began to feed that hunger that I had for building my relationship with Christ.
Yeah, I'm actually glad, like, through your telling your story, that you brought up the different denominations. So, like, I don't know about all of the denominations. Like, I'm so new to this. Like, so when people say, I don't even remember all the names, but, like, when you say the different ones, it's hard to try and figure it out or grasp it. But then, like, you realize why some churches act a certain way or do things a certain way. Like, I honestly feel like we could do a podcast on different denominations. You know what I'm saying? Like, just kind of explaining it, not saying it in a bad way, but helping people understand it. You know what I mean? So,
So, being that you grew up in the church since before you were born, right, to your church members, when did you first get saved?
So, this question is, I don't want to say it's hard or difficult, but it's
layered.
That's perfectly said. So, I got biblically saved, the Romans 10 and 9 saved. And when I was in high school, about 15, 16, my cousin actually was asked to come speak to the youth, because he was one of the guys, he was one of the few adults that we trusted, we that kind of vibed with us, and they felt that can really get through to us. So he came and spoke to us, and we asked him, we told him, we don't feel that we're saved. And our thinking was, because when service is going, we're not the ones crying and saying hallelujah, thank you Jesus, or as we knew growing up, shouting. So we was like, we not say anything. Like, we just here. We just sing in choir. But he told us, he was like, if, you know, the Romans 10 and 10, if you believe that God died for your sins you believe that Jesus died for your sins and God rose him up 3 days later, then you're saved. So he was like, oh, okay, bet. Mind you, this cousin, I love him dearly, but every weekend, Friday, Saturday, he was in a club. He would come to church Sunday morning, be sitting there dozing off. So this is the person that we looked up to. So we weren't, like I said, we were only taught that Romans 10 and 9. We weren't told that, okay, this is the beginning. This is mm-hmm. how you accept God into your life. This is the start. And then you go, there are layers to this. You have to do this, like, this is the path that you need to take. So we was like, well, as long as we believe that, we good. We can do whatever we want to, which we know ain't right. So, yeah, that's, I got biblically saved in high school, but it wasn't until, like I said, after college, because in college I was still living that. I was in church every Sunday, but I was doing college things throughout the week. And it was crazy because church started at 12 noon. Well, the service that I went to started at 12 noon. So I always joke and say I washed away all the sin from head to toe before I went to church. So, but no, like I said, it wasn't until after I graduated college and came back home and got involved in my sister's church that I really started to, like, kind of buckle down and be like, okay, God, I need to know you for myself. I need to know, like, I really want that relationship. Because, again, when I was in, like, I'm one of the people that I clubbed, I did all that in college, and my first year out, after that, I was like, okay, it's me and you, God, what we got, what's going on, what we want to do, let's go. So,
yeah. That's good. That's real good. Like, especially to hear, as you said, you was like, it's layers. It's not like a, hey, I know what I'm doing, this is, I'm saved, but you actually go through them ups and downs, and God still draws you back. And, like, you continue to go through that walk, like, even though you mess up sometimes and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be in the world. But the ultimate goal is to, like level up, to mm-hmm. stay on path and to stay focused on God. So, with that, it's like, with your journey, like, so, I know you said you went to college, but have you ever, like, left the church completely? And if so, like, what brought you back?
So, I don't want to say I left the church, but there were periods of time where I was seeking new church homes. There were lengths of time that I wasn't in a church. For example, when I first got into college, it was a few months before I found Greater St. Stephen's. I think it might have been a full semester before we found Greater St. Stephen's. And then after I graduated college, after college, I didn't really have any gaps or whatever. But there was times where, I ain't gonna lie, I was skipping church. But again, it's because that hunger wasn't being filled. The biggest gap was when I moved to Charlotte. As far as the church thing, I was like, I didn't want to go to a church that my sister was going to, especially if I wasn't feeling connected to that church. So I ventured out. I found the church that I'm at now. I found them online. I think I was in a group or whatever, and they posted about the church that I go to now. And I started to go, and from the very first service that I went to, I've been connected. So I think I just needed to take a break, because I have been at a church for, like I said, I've been in church all my life, and within the last few years, especially being an adult, because, you know, when you grow up as a child, you just see people come and go. You don't know the story behind why they come and go. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, and if you are in any auxiliary, whether you're a leader or not, you hear things, you know stuff, and mm-hmm. you know people's character, and you know some people ain't gonna leave unless it's some stuff going on. Now, when you got mothers and associate pastors leaving, you know something going on. So,
yeah, I agree, because I mean it happens in, I won't say it happens in every church, but I mean we have in our experiences, we have these beliefs, these morals, these understandings that we walk into the church with.
Right, and right.
When somebody or something there hurts you, i.e. church hurt, it taints your view, your understanding of your relationship with the church. So I totally get that part.
So. Right, and it's like you come into the new church with a wall up. Like, nope, I saw that before. Mm-hmm. We ain't doing nothing. I'm saying, and it's hard to get away from that, because I mean, and not just in the church, in any type of relationship, in any type of situation that has hurt you, when you see similar patterns, you automatically know, I don't want to go through that pain no more.
Yeah.
So, right. I was able to come to this church, and almost immediately the walls were taken down. So.
That's good too, because like another spoiler alert, we will be going over like episodes of church hurt and how to get through that. So all of us are actually living proof of that as well. But that's deep. Like when you, it's so much that we can talk about with that subject. Period. Mm-hmm. But that's amazing, huh? Just to see that you found something.
Yeah. So. As far as you leaving college and starting to, seek out your relationship with God, what happened when you found Christ for yourself, and when did you find Christ for yourself?
So the church that my sister was going to, that I started to go to with her, that was a non-denominational church. And even though they had kind of Kojic ways, or Church of God in Christ ways, for those that don't know what Kojic is, but
we'll talk about it.
But they were really almost like a high praise, hooping and hollering church. At that point in time, that was what I was used to. That's what I grew up knowing. And it was like, if you ain't hooping and hollering, you ain't preaching. But for me, just being a part of that church and experiencing God on a different level, and seeing people experience God on a different level than what I was used to, that really opened up the possibility of me knowing God for myself. And one story I had that really, I don't want to say sealed the deal, whatever, but one experience that I had that really showed me that my relationship was growing. I had a friend who, we were in a community choir together. Now, like I said, when I gave my life to Christ, it wasn't no wavering. Like I made sure I got all my clubbing and all that out the way before I came to Christ. And understand, let me pause and say, that's not going to be everybody's story. Everybody doesn't have to wait to be perfect, to get all that out the way, to come to Christ, because God would accept you and meet you where you're at. But that was just my story. So some of the girls from the group, they were still hanging out, clubbing, doing all this stuff every weekend. And this one girl in particular, my ex and her family were really close. So their family gathering, she was there. And I saw the God in her, but she was running from it. So one Sunday we had a guest pastor there, and they was like, find somebody, like put somebody on your, or somebody has been on your heart, pray for them, and really like just go in and pray for them. So I prayed for her. I prayed that, what was it? I prayed that when she goes to the club, she will feel uncomfortable. When she drinks, it will feel weird or whatever. She called me the next Sunday. I was getting ready for church. When I tell you everything that I prayed for, she told me. I said, okay. Okay. So there is something real with this.
Yeah.
And that in itself, I was like, okay, so, you know, because, you know, as a child, you see people talking about this. You see people saying, I pray for them, and this happened just the way I prayed. And but for it to happen to you, you just like, no.
Like, this is real.
Like, it's like, God, you gave me, like, you love me enough to allow that to happen. So that was my first real encounter. Somewhat encounter with the power of God, the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. So that, from that point forward, I've known that, okay, this is what I can do because I know who God is to me. And I've been exploring that and walking with that. Like, that's been one of the anchors of my salvation.
Yeah, and that's good. And just like a pause in that, just to say, like, that's her experience and her story and how God needed to reach her personally. So for anybody who's listening, watching, and they're like, oh, well, God's never reached me in that way, God will reach you the way he needs to in order for you to realize your relationship with him.
The way you need to be reached. Yeah,
exactly. Like, it won't all come the same for everybody. So don't feel like you aren't loved or known or deserving. God will reach you and meet you in the way that he needs to meet you for your relationship with him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Couldn't have said it better, because I was going to piggyback off that. But yeah, he'll definitely find you. Like I said, all of us are living proof of that. You know, wait till you get to my story, you'll know. What was, like, your first steps, like, to gaining your relationship back with God, or just digging deeper with him?
For me, one thing that helped me was not necessarily relying on anybody else to help me build my relationship. And by that, I mean, there was a point in times that if my friends wasn't going to church, I wasn't going to church. But I realized that when it comes to my salvation, God, and like when I meet my maker at the end of it all, God ain't gonna stay. So why, like, he gonna ask me why I didn't go to church. I can't say, oh, cause such and such didn't go with me. So I had to go head on and do it myself. So at Bishop Morton's and Pastor Morton's church, there were several things that were going on. Pastor Morton, Deborah Morton, she had a Women's of Excellence conference that went on. I went to that every year. Pretty much any time they had service, I was there. For me, what helped me was that I plugged in. And I went to these services, and I didn't go just to be going, because that's what I was doing prior, like, at home. I was going to church whenever doors opened. They said I had to be there. I was there. This time, I wanted to be there, even though I was, at that point in time, I was kind of playing double dutch with my salvation. I would be in church, but once I wasn't in church, I was doing, like I said, college things. I was still plugging in. And even when I graduated, I came home and was going to my new church, I was plugging in. When they had midweek service, I was going. When they had prayer, I was going. And I wasn't just going to church just to be going to church. I was taking notes. I was looking over the notes. I was doing devotionals, talking to people who had a deeper relationship with God, and just kind of talking to them and seeking their help and advice on how I can live a better Christian life, and allowing them to hold me accountable for my relationship.
That's good. I definitely can relate in the part with, you know, not going to church, because my friends weren't getting up and going to church, especially in college years, doing college things, and not getting up and going. And, you know, we weren't set or settled in our relationship with God, and definitely taking that step. I will say, initially, when I finally was like, all right, God, it's me and you, I still had that part of me where it was just like, all right, I need somebody to walk with me. And then it was that part where I had to let that person go because I needed to, you know, get this for myself specifically, not relying on somebody else to get up and go to church with me.
Right. So, I'm sorry, Marquise, but on top of that, like, I had to realize that it could be that their walk is not, well, number one, their walk is not my walk. Right. Everybody's walk is not the same. But it could be, it could take me doing that walk by myself and them seeing the change in me for them to come around.
Right. Definitely agree with that.
So. You don't notice how many people like actually look up to you until those type of moments.
Crazy.
And it's like a lot of us are kind of natural born leaders and people look up to us. And so it's like they're waiting for us to move when we were sitting there waiting for them.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a big thing. And I'm sitting here, like, as I hear y'all talk, I'm thinking about so many different episodes that we could do. And it sounds like, to me, we need, like, a college episode.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Because that's Jesus. That's what it's going to be called, college and Jesus. Because
when y'all say, y'all keep bringing up this this college life, I'm like, I ain't go to college, so I don't know about it. So I want to hear the journey of the college students.
About that.
Right.
Hey, so, you need to hear it.
True.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's take a transition from your backstory into being a co-host of Relationship X Religion, which we're so happy that you came on with us. We're so excited to have conversations with you and just laugh with you and everything. So what made you want to be a part of Relationship X Religion?
So for me, at the church that I was a part of when I went back home after I left my home church, I was very cool with several people, and the people in my age range were on fire for God, like fire. There was one guy who said that he prayed and asked God to allow him to see sin the way that God saw sin, and God granted him that wish, whatever. There was a girl who was just on fire for God. Like, it was a lot of people that was on fire for God, and to see those people now is like, what happened? What happened? And the only thing that I only answer that I could come up with is church hurt. So when the co-host position was presented to me, I saw it as a way to prevent that from happening again. Because if we can't separate religion from relationship, then that stuff like that will happen.
Yeah.
We have to realize that there are two different things. We have to realize that we have to find a church that is based more on teaching relationship and using religion, mm-hmm. as opposed to teaching religion, running on religion, preaching religion, and not dealing with relationship. So that's one of the reasons why that's the main reason why, to really be that bridge of truth to what we've experienced. Because like I said, I've known so many people that have had church hurt, which plug will be an upcoming episode. So stay tuned.
So yeah, so that, like, we're hearing you speak about that right there, like, we want to ask the other question of, like, what can the listeners look forward to get out of you from this podcast?
One thing that I really want to give out is truth. Make sure that it's biblical truth and not my feelings. I will give you my experiences, what I've seen, but I will, like I said, give you truth. It may be wrapped in comedy because I love to laugh. I love, like, I'm a joyful person, or at least I like to think I am. So, truth, laughter. I love music, so you might get some musical suggestions from me. So, yeah.
So where are you now as far as your relationship? Where are you as far as like your walk and everything with Christ?
So I'm at a point now where, okay, the foundation has been laid. I've been on milk for a while, transitioning to food. Now it's, I need to start getting the meat for myself. Or in other words, I know who God is. I know who he is for me. But now is really time to, it's really time for me to really start using the, his authority over my life, for me to start speaking his authority, his will over my life, and me starting to walk in his will. I joke and say I jacked up the first 32 years of my life. Now it's his will from this point forward. So it's an ongoing journey for me, and any Christian can tell you that it's a continuous journey walking with Christ. You will never know everything about God on your journey, because you can read the same scripture 15 times and get 15 different revelations from that one scripture.
Yes. So, I mean, it literally says in the Bible, right. I believe it's Galatians 29:29, that there are some mysteries that we will never, that will never, never be revealed to us.
Right. So yeah, I'm just on the path and the continuous journey to strengthen my relationship with God and to really just get deeper and really experience his will for my life and trust him with his will for my life.
Gotcha. So what advice would you have for someone who is looking to start or basically regain a relationship with God?
Basically, I would say find you a church that is Bible-based, relationship-based. Don't go to a church just because that's the popular church in the city. Go to a church where you feel that you are being fed, that your hunger is being fed. And when you go to that church, don't just go to that church and go on Sundays, get the word, and leave. Get involved. If they have small groups, engage in those small groups, because the purpose of those small groups is not to just go hang out with people for you meet people, but to actually get the word on a deeper level, for you to engage with other people, other like-minded people, so that your relationship with God can grow. Because in those areas or in those groups, you see that I'm not the only person that's dealing with what I'm dealing with. I'm not the only person that feel, let me give examples. I'm not the only person that feel like I got to be the token black girl at my job. I'm not the only single mother that got two boys. I'm not the only single dad that's, you know, saying, dealing with whatever I'm dealing with. So you find like-minded people who are dealing with the same things that you are dealing with. You find accountability partners. And then another piece of advice is be open. Because one thing that I can say about God, you may plan to go one way. God will switch it around and you'd be like, this is so much better than what I could have ever expected.
I know that's the truth.
Like, that's why I say, like, I'm not going to try my way no more, because God's way is so much better, so much easier. Mm-hmm. So be open to what God has for you.
Yeah. And let me correct myself. I said Galatians. I meant Deuteronomy.
See? Again, truth, y'all. Truth, y'all. We correct ourselves.
Right.
We lead y'all the right way. Okay, so now it's your turn to ask me questions. I've been talking, I've told you who I am, what I'm about, and just a little bit deeper into my journey in this Christian walk. So if you have any questions for me, hit us up on social media. We're on Facebook at Relationship X Religion and on IG at Relationship X Religion, no space in between.
As we close out, we basically want you to realize, as we usually say, persuaded by religion, but fully convinced by the relationship with God. And this is Relationship X Religion.